Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm so happy that you're joining us tonight. It is a beautiful day in Tahoe. It's snowing. I know that last time I spoke with everyone, it was a beautiful sunny day. And that's the truth of life. It's always changing here in Tahoe. So I'm thrilled. I just think that this is just an interesting journey we're on all the time. I have a wonderful guest with me tonight. I'm so excited. Again, she's going to be on her show. She's going to be taking some calls. And Kelly Hampton is, to me, one of the most profound mediums and channeler that I have really met. I mean, she's really dedicated to the work. She's written an amazing book called Into the White Light, which I have been reading. I pretty much have read it twice. It's one of those books, and I highly recommend everyone out there to go online and go to her webpage and pick it up. It is really the most amazing book. It's a channeled book, and when you're reading it, you just know that Michael is talking directly to your soul. So I'm going to just tap in and just see and get Kelly on the line. So hold on a sec. Hi. Hold on. Hi, Kelly. Is that you?
It is.
Hi there, beautiful one. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, honey?
I'm doing okay. It's a beautiful snowy day in Tahoe. Can you believe that? We had like
wow.
Snow. I know, really, it's been snowing so much, but it really is a godsend because we needed the water for the lake to come up, and so it is a blessing, so I'm grateful for it. But I'm so excited. I have been reading your book all day again, which I read it already, but I read it again, just asking Michael, you know, give me an inspiration here for the show, and I just started reading, like pulling out things from this your book and just being so just taken into wonderful places, you know, and so I'm so excited to have you on again, and I hope everything's going well for you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, you went. I heard you came from. You did work in Rhode Island recently.
Oh my gosh, I hope we get to talk about that. It was amazing.
Yeah, so you are now doing your star healing. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. Michael channeled that to me in January of this year when I was in the airport.
Wow.
And
it's a ride.
It's amazing. People are, I'm amazed too. Every journey's different. I would like to say I wasn't a healer before he told me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in a way I would be doing myself a disservice, but I certainly was not practicing, you know, a practitioner, a facilitator of Reiki or pranic healing or anything.
Oh, so this is...
But I am now.
Oh, well, welcome. It's funny how it switches, you know. I only did that kind of work one-on-one for, 25 years, and now I'm doing more... you know, kind of universally, you know, going out in the waves and doing different things in the same light as, in a sense, promoting a higher vibration. So it's all the same, isn't it? It's just all wonderful work. And we are being called to really come into this new place within ourselves. So I would really like to kind of talk about that and talk about what is happening for people right now. I can see and feel the vibration of people really at a high rate elevating.
Yeah.
And I, you
yeah.
know, do you feel it? Is that what you're picking
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, it began in October
okay.
for me. But yes, I we can have plenty of fodder to talk about. We can talk about the Palladian galaxy, if you want. That's where the star galaxy healing came from. We can talk about all of that. We can talk about star seeds. We can talk about, you can call it the shift and the awakening. We can call it about the ascension energy, which is what it is. And last night, my son and I happened to be watching the History Channel, and the scientists on the History Channel are talking about the revelations that are, you know, they're now clearly stating that the scientists, that the DNA codes for life didn't come from on Earth, they came from other galaxies, and they can prove it in the stars. And so they're saying that. It's on the History Channel, and I'm nodding my head going,
Don't you love when that happens? It's like all of a sudden it validates it, you know, on the scientific level, that spirit has always been here, and it's always been really what has kind of moved us through our planetary kind of awarenesses, you know. So it's like Stephen Hawkins had just came on. Maybe that was the same. We just saw him recently talking about time travel and things that are, he, you know, I mean, we were talking about what it would be like to be Stephen Hawkins in this body that couldn't move, but only in the, in what he expanded was his consciousness. And it's amazing to see him in the scientific world speaking about these other dimensions. So I love this. This is kind of really validating it from every side, you know, that's happening. So I'm thrilled. And I would love, I mean, we were talking about what spirit for sometimes we forget, you know, we get into the wanting and the questions and all this. And most of the time, spirit is always, all of the time, we are getting the messages that we're asking for, you know. And it's just a matter of really listening. And I really get that, you know, that is the quieting of the mind that we're trying to get more connected to, is this daily kind of reverence for the silence that will give you the answers that you're looking for, right? I mean, if we don't go within, we go without. And I think that's what the universe is really seeing, that we have been playing this mouse, you know, catch the mouse game, in a sense. We're really on that treadmill of life of getting and getting. And now we realize that doesn't work in the big picture of our soul and our promise and our connection to the source. So I'm grateful for that, actually, on many levels. So I don't know what you have been seeing, because I'd love to hear it from your perspective, of like, what do you feel is the biggest teaching right now for everyone's individual kind of elevation or evolve? I don't know, there's a word for it, but I'm not
kidding. Well, again, I can speak for my own personal truth that the angel demonstrated to me, as again, I started like in about October after, you know, actually, you know, counseling people for maybe the last 20 years, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Only in the last, since October, November, when he says the shift, the cosmic shift, you know, what people originally kind of would lump together all as 2012, but lots of things that would be defined within that context. But beginning then, calling people through the readings then to serve in the unseen spiritual army. And what is the unseen spiritual army? Michael's using those words. He's enlisting light workers all over the world. So, of course, I'm not the only person he's using to do that. But clearly, those types of calls to be a light worker helping did not come through 2 years ago, 4 years ago, and back. It's a new revelation, really, that, as I say, most of the people, everyone that's a light worker who happens to come to me for a session, Michael will call them to serve. And not only will he call them, but if they affirm, he gives them a job. I'm not kidding. And he might send them to the furthest corners of the world, to an African jungle or somewhere in Indonesia or in a rice field to help children that have their appendages not there. Or he may tell them to look in their own backyard, but he's usually very clear and specific with how they are to serve. And he says that, of course, then one person that serves, first the light workers will usher in the new energy, okay? Mm-hmm. And then after the light workers have opened the doors, the rest will follow. So everyone, when people ask me, you know, about what are some of the things this means, it means many, he says, he uses many words, expansion of everything. The world, the universe is spinning faster. So, of course, now, the 2012, that is not a fear statement. It's actually the converse of that. What is it's the battle, the unseen battle is really of love over fear. So in love and ascension energy, which is what star healing intergalactic energy is, ascension energy, that I believe he's taught me, told me, has come from the star galaxy, which is close to the Palladians. Don't want to lose anyone. But
I know.
But that's what this internal, you know, feeling, like people call me, ask me, I personally can validate it, you probably can, that somewhere near October, November, December, January, February. Maybe some people are starting to feel it now. Depends, he's saying, what their readiness is. But there's like an unseen anxiousness, eagerness, that they know they have to do something, but they don't exactly know what.
Oh, yeah.
And this is part of the acceleration of the ascension energy. This is said another way, that if you don't know what your truth has been yet in life, mm-hmm. the universe, the cosmic forces of the universe, mm-hmm. let's say one, let's just say ours, universes, is mm-hmm. going to show it to you.
Yeah.
So that even if you're not a light worker, your life is going to expand, and it's going to expand because the ego-centered energies that mankind has lived with for decades, Michael uses my hand, they're pushing that aside. That's being pushed aside so that love and light prevail. And love and light, of course, is expansion and joy and all the high vibrational energies that are not toxic in any way. So that ties into like comments from people and myself knowing. I feel like, excuse me, can I say this? Crap. I feel like crap. Something's going on. I'm sick. I don't know why. You know, I've got a cold for months. It won't go away, but it's not like the regular cold. And now I'm so tired. And so as I've been taught and learned and validate some of these things besides Michael with other, you know, divine sources, that's because the body's trying to catch up with the vibrational energy, that the restructuring of the DNA, if you will, that's entering into the world, and the younger children already have it instilled in them. So simply said, you know, the body's the vessel that's got to keep up. So that's the purging, that's the regeneration, the reformulation, if you will, of why people, light workers first and others to follow, may not have felt, may not be feeling so good, because the body's got to acclimate to the
Kelly, I have seen that happening with a lot of my light worker friends, and they have had the past week low energy, had to sleep all day, you know, really fatigued. And it's interesting you just mentioned that, because...
And you just got to hang with it till it passes.
Okay.
You know?
And that's exactly what I came up with as we were, we all got to that. We were purging and clearing our houses of the stuff that doesn't vibrate at this new level that's coming in. So if you've had some issues or things that you're working on, you know, the sleep is good to kind of get your body restored so that it can hold the new vibration that's going to be. And so if a cold kind of reminds me, like you said, mucusy and kind of getting rid of things, you know, I can see that making sense to what is going on then. Yeah. Well, that is good. I'm glad. Thank you, Michael, for that information, because I'm sure we're getting a lot of people that are saying, yeah, I know. I've been feeling that way lately, kind of out of sorts, you know. And I have had more energy than I have had ever. I don't, you know, that has just actually been working a little bit overtime for me. So I am just waking up with like so much energy and sleeping. Like I think I'm sleeping, but I'm getting downloaded all this information. A lot of the other side are coming, and I'm getting information for people. And I call them up the next day and said, "Your son came to me. I have this great, you know, conversation we had, and I realized that the healing, you know, needed to happen." So it's really been accelerated for me at that level. So I really am grateful, but I sometimes don't know what to do with it. You know, I'm like, okay,
yeah.
You know,
another show.
I know. I'm really like letting go and letting it flow and letting it be all okay. You know, I'm not trying to put a label on anything, because I realize as soon as I do, it's going to change. You know, so it's a wonderful reality check for me, is that, you know, this is we are in this amazing, moving, changing frequency, and, you know, and we are all, especially light workers, being, you know, kind of tuned in at this higher frequency. So I've been, you know, I'm a cranial, I work on people too, and I've been getting a lot of clients that have ear tones. They're hearing these high-pitched tones all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and then we'll talk about, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm a healer or whatever. So it's really obvious they're older healers, which is interesting to me. So they are being downloaded a lot of new information that they, don't know where to put, you know, in their vast knowledge of what they already know. So I realized, I said, listen to the sound. Don't try to shut it off or take it away. Just listen. Because in that tone, you're going to be elevating your frequency. So as soon as I said that, they would start to do that, and sure enough, the tone would subside. Interesting, but anyway. I just
love it.
Yeah. But, you know, I do want to mention your book. And last time we got into a lot of callers, and it was just a wonderful show. I got such, you know, everybody loved the whole time spent with you. But I really do want to talk about your book, because it is a phenomenal book. I've read it twice already. And for everyone listening, I really want you to get it. I know that once you get it, you're going to say, I needed to read this book, and this is the information I needed to know. Because it gives you Archangel Michael's inside scoop on heaven and all the things that you may have seen throughout your lifetime. I mean, he talked about this place of knowledge, you know, that I was, you know, reading, and I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, that's the place my husband, he had passed over, and I met him in a meditation, and he took me to this amazing temple with all...
Oh, my God!
Yeah, with all books in it, and I'm like, Chuck, this is just a beautiful place, and I said, I wish I could stay. He said, I wish you could too, but you have to go back. And I said, and this is the funniest thing, Kelly, I said to him, you lucky stiff. And he said, "You're just funny, a stiff." I said, "I did, didn't I?" And so we laughed, and it was the funniest moment, you know. And so when I returned back from this vision, and it was like I didn't want to go; I wanted to stay. Mm-hmm. It was this beautiful garden around. And when I was reading your book, it talks about that level. It was talking about the level of knowledge, and I was just thinking, "Thank you." I never knew where it was that I went. And now I do. So I know that's
why. Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I enjoy hearing the visual context, you know, because I say I sense, which I do, and I clearly hear. But you know, the vividness of an impression, I don't get that unless I'm on water. So, you know, to hear that you kind of saw what he described is really meaningful.
Oh, it was the most amazing thing. And the greatest truth is this. My husband had an extremely great sense of humor. Even in his death, he did. Uh-huh. Even on the other side, he was totally like making fun of everything. And he was just so lovely and light and beautiful. And so at his service, there were about 100 people there. I didn't know if I was going to say anything, and I really didn't have anything written out or anything. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear him say, Patty, tell him the story. About you visiting me. So I got up and I said, I'm being told to tell you the story about me when Chuck took me to this wonderful, you know, beautiful white building with, I saw all these ancient souls reading and even entities in this place that were like out of body. And I said, it was the most beautiful thing. And that's when I told the story that I called him a lucky stiff. And everybody, the whole room, Kelly, just cracked up laughing. You know, it was just a beautiful moment, a very light and wonderful moment that everybody, you know, realized that there was humor and there was light and there was learning still going on. And it was just a most amazing experience. So I have to say, it was given to me for a reason, too, I'm sure. So, I mean, we have so many angel stories that are happening all the time. I mean, every day, to me, is a gift if you just stay quiet enough that the angels are trying to say hello, or the other side is trying to say hello or give you a message of some kind. I mean, we were talking a little about angel stories yourself. So remember you were telling me the one about the person came in to you and said, I am an earth angel. I love that.
Mm-hmm, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want me to share that a little bit?
I would love to. Yeah, that was such a powerful story. I loved it.
Well, thank you. Well, as I shared with you, and I'll share again, this was maybe about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and I had called a contractor to give me a bid on some work in our home. And he came out and, you know, he walked in the house and, you know, kind of looked at the work or whatever. And then he asked if we could sit down at my kitchen table. And I said, you know, sure, of course, you know, we kind of went over the figures, and that's when he proceeded to tell me he was an earth angel. And so, you know, by now I'm already on my path. So, I mean, I was taken aback still, right? But, you know, not like someone, I guess, that hadn't had some spiritual experiences. But in any event, he went on to tell me how many souls he'd saved. I don't remember the number now, but he gave me an exact number.
Really?
And then, yeah.
Wow.
And then he asked me to read the Desiderata. And at the time, I didn't know what the Desiderata was. So I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. So that was kind of it. And he left. And I never did get the bid. I couldn't really find him anymore. I mean, I'm sure he didn't move away. But he never did submit the, you know, the bid. And needless to say, didn't do the work.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm convinced that was his purpose, to have me read the Desiderata. And if you have just a minute, those that are not familiar, be nice to read. Can I read just a little bit from it?
Oh, I would. I've never, you know, I don't know anything about it, so I would love to hear what he had said.
Well, often it's attributed to Max, I think it's pronounced Ehrman, 1927, but appears in a lot of also Catholicism type of
The Desiderata.
Beliefs. But it's Desiderata, and if I can read some of it, it goes like this. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They, too, have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Be yourself, especially. Do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. A couple more verses, because it really is a document. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations. In the noise and confusion of life, keep peace within your soul.
Wow. Now, I do know that. Now, you know, I didn't know the name of it, but I do know that. That is, that's just, thank you. That was beautiful. I just looked down at our caller switchboard, Kelly, and we have lots of wonderful people that would like to talk to you. So I would like to just talk a little bit more about this context of the book that we were talking about, how it came to you and how the book was channeled, so maybe people would understand what a great book it is. So so the book came to you, I was reading just about it came to you, and then over a certain, how many days did you just start writing what you were hearing that Michael was telling you? It was like a 3-week period.
Well, as I write about it in the introduction, it came about in 2005. So it was first, it's a self-published book, by the way. Maybe if we have some chance, a lot of people have already helped me try to get it to a publisher through this contest, and many more can. But in any event, so 3 nights in a row, the angel came to me in the middle of the night with a big, bright, white light. That's how the title came about. And he said we'd be writing a book together, and you know, it took 3 nights, really. Had I listened the first night, it would have been 1 night, right? So I didn't really listen until the 3rd night. So the next morning, then, after the 3rd night, I sat down at my computer, and off and on with the context of life. It was about a 7-week transmission of information, and so I went in every day and listened, sat, was the open channel, literally, of the information, and then go to sleep, wake up, next day, same thing. So there's more promise. He has more he's trying to tell me. I'm trying to make room for everything. So it's not the last transmission. There's much more he has to say through me and others, but through me personally, I can say. So as soon as I can get it out there, people are asking me, and I'm trying. That Star Healing came. It didn't interrupt. Everything's in good order, right? You know, but mm-hmm. Star Healing came just like the book did, without asking, not even knowing what he was talking about, not even knowing what the star galaxy was. And so for the brief moment in time, you know, it's getting that new form of ascension energy given to people first, and then if they're inclined to take all three journeys, so they then can share it to themselves. But that's Michael's goal, really, is that I just personally am not giving the ascension energy to one person, but of course, you know, globally speaking, you know, I give it to others, so they may teach themselves and teach others and expand that exponentially. Mm-hmm. So we're working on it.
Yeah. It sounds like you have just been working on this a long time. Like over the course of your lifetime, you've been doing such great work and really listening to the angels. And so, you know, it isn't an easy life sometimes to not know where you're going to go for, you know, moment to moment, because you're so present in the moment. So a lot of time, you know, it's not, I always think, it's the only way to be is to, like, not know or not make a plan unless it's told to you that that's what you have to do. You know, that's really living in the spiritual network, in a sense, of really listening to where you're supposed to be going. And that is what most people, you know, when they call in and they want to know what their spiritual purpose is going to be, I really don't know if they are quite aware sometimes of what they're asking for, you know?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they want, you know, and I really get the dedication and the, I'm going to use the word faith, because it really does. It does come in at this deep, deep level of trust and faith that you know that you're being guided. There's no question. You don't even know why you're going down that street. You were going to the market. Next thing you know, you hear a voice that you have to take this left. You know, that's happened to me before. And I go, oh, but I'm going to the store. No, you got to take the left, you know. And so I go down that street, and, you know, I find a woman had fallen. And she was a woman, it was like I had hawk eyes. And she was in her yard, and my friend was with me. He said, I don't know how you saw her there. And I said, I just knew I had to go down. I've never been down the street my whole life. So, and we ran in the house, we found out her name, and we called the ambulance. And so I realized that when you are really listening, it might not be your plan. You know, it might not be your conscious plan that you're going to be doing, but it's the one that you have to do, because you're being told to do it, so you do it, you know. And it's a dedication. It's a real dedicated life that has, and sometimes you might not know why you're there. And then all of a sudden, you know why, right? I'm sure that happens with you a lot. So, and that's what I think we need to get to, is that we are getting to a place, and a spiritual journey has taken us all into these places that are unknown to most souls. They really don't know what to do with the information that they're being, you know, downloaded. So they're at a place where I'm getting, you know, information, and I don't know how to move from this plane of existence to the other. You know, I don't know how to work my spiritual self into my job at the bank, you know, or I don't, you know, they really don't know how to merge them together to be one with what they do and who they are. You know, it's different. See, we know that, because that's what we get, you know, that's what we do. But what I find is that the person that's had to work the 9-to-5 job and had to participate kind of in this dimensional state of existence that, you know, doesn't usually talk or bring spirit into their world, is now they are feeling like, I need to do this. I have to do this. If I don't, I'm not being true to myself. So I feel for them. I know it's a difficult place to be. But I think, and what would you say, Kelly, to them who are struggling with that part, to say, how do I incorporate my whole self into my whole life? Because a lot of times we have separated ourselves. You know, we're spiritual beings. And then we go to work, you know, and then we don't function at that level, you know.
I can speak for myself as having lived that, but I would answer this as Michael would answer it, and he would say that it's going to be demonstrated for you cosmically whether you really consciously know it or not. And what is the demonstration? That when the higher vibrations of love come in. And the energies of fear go away. Then a person, for example's intuition, you know, intuition takes some amount of fear removal for those experiences to happen. Trust, you know, intuition is based on trust. That's why, you know, so many of us all really, and children are often talked about, you know, that the levels of knowing that they come in with, you know, gets in the past, I should say, you know, that they don't trust, that they're told not to trust it. So things like mistrust, all of those things are being pushed aside for people, whether they know it or not, by a greater force in other universes. So on that level, without doing anything, know that between now and 2012 and beyond, that the universes are working on their own harmony and their own rhythm. Mm-hmm. To allow these things to happen. So people that may not have had the spiritualness, the intuitiveness, the accepting of self, however that's expressed to them, those mm-hmm. things are going to just sort of evolve, expand, because that's what Michael promised.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, I'm going to start to take a caller, because I don't want them to hang up. I see them there, so please call back. Don't hang up. We are going to take your calls. So, are you ready to take the first call?
Yes, sure.
Oh, okay. Hi, hold on. Hello. Let's see. Hi. Hold on. Hi. You're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to? Hello. Hi, I just picked up on a 760 area code. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Is this Julie?
It is Julie.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm glad you stayed on the line. I know that we've been talking, and it probably seems like a long time, but we wanted to.
No, I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. Okay, good. Well, Kelly, this is Julie, and Julie, if you have any specific things that maybe that you could just kind of, you know, gear her towards so that she can help you pick up on one specific thing that you might be going through.
You want me to?
Yeah, sure.
Talk a little bit about it. Oh, okay.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of relevant, I think, to what the conversation's been about. Think about fear and its opposite, really. So I feel like in my regular life, I'm practicing so much of what isn't fear and experiencing so much of that. But there is a situation that is coming my way. It has been sort of in my life at the front of my husband, who's a real sweet guy, has had a bad person, who's trying to extort money from them. And it came into our lives because we had become friends with him. And he's just so, he couldn't defend himself. And he's, you know, he's being taken to court. And this really bad person is doing something to hurt him. So every time I hear about it, I get what Patty called, like, my warrior comes out. I get all puffed up. And I can't explain it because it really offends me when I find out what this woman, what she's doing. It's just appalling to me. And so anyway, Patty had actually spoken to, I had called her actually just when I thought this was going too far. This woman was she'd gone to the law and just doing all these false things. And So Patty talked to him, the person who was being, you know, victimized, so to speak, and that helped a lot. Anyway, that woman showed up coincidentally at my work today, and I work as a massage therapist at in a chiropractic office. Beautiful, wonderful, conscious place. And I walked in, and she was right there, sitting down. I looked at her, and she had changed her hair. She dyed it from blonde to brown, got, you know, a shag haircut. I mean, totally changed the way she looked because she was going to court. And it was just, so I didn't even recognize her. I've only seen her once. But it became clear to her that I recognized her, and I went in and did a massage. And she then spoke to the chiropractor on the front desk and how her privacy is a big deal, and she didn't want me talking to anybody that I had seen her there. But she's using going to, coincidentally, to my office for body work to build a case against this innocent person.
Wow.
And that's pretty much it. It's just I don't really know what to do about it, but as soon as I saw her, I turned white. I mean, I just I feel like I can't protect myself. I guess that's how I feel. And it's mixed in with this feeling of just, you know, injustice. Like, I know that this person's false. You know, they're pretending to be something they're not. I think she's like supposed to be a holistic healthcare practitioner. It's really just the weirdest thing I've come across. So
would your question be, what is Michael? You want to ask Angel Michael to see where this is, what the teaching is in this for everyone.
Exactly? I mean, I have no idea.
Well, I'll be happy to get involved in this because, you know, when you're speaking there, I'm hearing what why is this happening? What should you do? The angel says, offer her love and kindness. So, you know, there'll be more. It's hard to, you know, when you're in the middle of the emotion and the circumstance, you know, to be told, you know, offer her love and kindness. But that is really the truth. All the great masters of all the world religions say you can't change some circumstances, but you can change how you react to them. So that's what he would ask.
Okay.
That's what he would ask you to do. If you cannot yet offer her love and kindness, you simply change how you react to the circumstances. Said another way, it would be, you know, ask yourself, who has power to rob you of happiness and joy on any given day? You know, the answer is, of course, no one. So if you think about yourself in a sense that you are honored, okay, you are honoring yourself in claiming joy and love and peace that day, then it shifts how you're thinking of the circumstance. Certainly he can offer guidance about the nuts and bolts of how it will be, but it seems that the context of what needs to be mentioned here, which he just did, I believe, is, you know, the emotionalness of it, not, you know, what the outcome will be, okay, but the emotionalness of how to ascend or rise above, deal with this situation. And this really is something that I find all the time when Michael guides someone. He gives them a tool to remind us all, myself included, that, you know, this demonstration that he just shared to you can be used in every life experience. You know, it's a reminder to be used in every life experience, because she's not going to be the last person that comes into your realm of existence that offers some opportunity for growth. Okay, if I can share a couple other things, he's saying, he's showing me growth instead of a disruption. The other thing is that he's saying, as he said to some others before, is that no one can grow without being made uncomfortable. So oftentimes he'll give people exercises to do on their own. You know, he's a guide, you know, to help them. So he's leading up to giving you an exercise, and it ties into this, and that is, in what ways has she made you feel uncomfortable? And bless her, because without feeling uncomfortable, you can't grow in some way. So this is, you know, this is food to think about when we're off the air and you go about the next few days of your life, or however long you wish to be faithful to the idea that everyone is in our lives to teach us something.
Yes, that's why I was asking, because that's exactly how, even the thought, every time I hear about this situation, I feel. I mean, it's very agitating, uncomfortable.
You know, I will say this, if I can share this. I would like to share this. Sometimes as I hear, I don't mean to interrupt or talk over, just, you know, it's a hearing. So, you know, again, Michael's saying, you know, he says, I could tell you that it was a past life connection. I could tell you in some way to validate your mind about your feelings, and your feelings are to be validated. Don't misunderstand me. But the energies that are entering in now are more solution. It's the thought of how you will feel when the situation is resolved, how you will feel knowing that the situation is resolved in a love and caring compassion. So he says, I don't find that it's helpful always to examine why this is being, why she's there in the office. I say to you that it's an opportunity, a blessing for you to grow from.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could handle that. I'll accept that.
that's great. Wow. Didn't mean to sound like a lecture, but, you know,
there it is. I understand. You know, Kelly, I do understand that, because what you just said is very powerful, that the biggest growth happens when you are made to feel uncomfortable. And everyone in this situation is extremely uncomfortable around this energy. So she has come in as a great teacher for everybody to stand in their power and in their love and in their in a sense center, so that this energy does not sway them and make them go into fear, you know? So yeah, I can see it as a blessing for everyone involved, because it's teaching you to be the loving beings that you really are and not be threatened by anyone, and just send out love. Because the only way that she can threaten you is if you become afraid, right? And fear indicates that you've lost your power over it. And to me, it's really about really regaining that center, that place of faith, in a sense, of love that you resonate from all the time, and not have anyone, no matter what, or, you know, and interfere with that, like the Buddha, you know. Or like Gandhi, you know, I mean, he's still, no matter if they put him in prison or not, he still came from a loving place, you know. And I get that is the greatest of teachers, you know. So, yeah. Wow, thank you for reminding us all that
sometimes
the hardest thing is the biggest teacher. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks for having the courage to share all that.
Yeah, thank you, Julie.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
I know that is working. That is a piece for a lot of people right now. You know, it could be divorcing. There could be, you know, wanting to leave their job because of bad energy or energies that make them feel a certain way. And it's really good that you remember that they have been called to be in service of your life, to teach you something, to get bigger than this situation. Because in my world, see, when I think of her, I just see a very helpless, sad girl that, you know, that needed to get father's attention. So I don't feel threatened at all. You know what I mean? I think if you could just see it in the sense of, from a loving sense of forgiveness for her, then love will happen for you and forgiveness will happen as well, you know. So, I mean, everybody wants to be loved, and I really do think behavior that goes astray is still looking to be loved, you know. It just doesn't know. It's like a child being in a bad, you know, getting your negative attention than positive. They still are this loving child, you know. They just didn't know how to let the world work for them, you know. So I always bring it right down that if I can just look through the eyes of and see them as children, you know, everyone, that anyone that's ever hurt, I just try to bring it to the real truth of that person, you know, that they have learned this behavior. It's not really who they are, you know. They are still a beautiful light, and that's kind of misguided, you know. So that's just my feeling. And Kelly, is there anything else that Michael's picking up?
No, well said. I was just listening.
Yeah. And, you know, and I know how powerful you are, and I know that the warrior is teaching you something, but the warrior doesn't have to have a sword, you know. It can have a flower. we're letting down the swords. I mean, it's interesting because I've talked to many other healers that have, you know, this going on, and they're letting down the sword, and they're picking up, you know, the flower. And they're more in that loving space than having to defend themselves anymore. So, yeah, I think there is past life for sure.
And that makes a lot of sense to me. Well, I'd only seen her twice, and the first time I met her, and it was like I just looked at her eyes, and they just were black, and I just told my husband, I said, I really don't like that person. I don't, you know, there's something wrong with there. And then it was weird seeing her again today, those empty black eyes. I just don't meet people like that. It's just, you know, one of those things that really sticks with you. Mm-hmm. And it is usually easy to, I think, come from love and to feel, you know, the compassion and empathy. And this has been very uncomfortable and challenging because they've been, you know, what their actions have been so the opposite, you know, so meaning hurt to somebody. So,
But it is a great teacher, though, don't you think? I mean, if you can just move aside from the experience of your emotions getting involved, if you think about it, it's teaching everyone around to stand ground, to get strong, to get centered, feel their, in a sense, integrity, you know, of who they are as human beings, and that they offer, they, you know, no one did anything to feel inadequate around this energy. You know, everybody's very strong and beautiful. So I think that you can't forget that. You know, you are a light, and you shine bright. And that is, you know, who you are, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. Well, thank you again so much. And those words will be taken to heart.
I'm sure, Kelly, we will see the highest good being met for this situation on every level, you know. And I always think, I don't know what that is. Only, you know, the universal knowledge, in a sense, knows that. So to me, I always say, let it go to the extreme of everybody really coming out this, you know, with some education, in a sense, you know, spiritual education that makes them stronger, you know. So blessings, my sweet friend. I know it's all going to be okay. And Kelly, there are couple other callers, so we're going to try to get to them. Are you feeling good about what happened? Do you feel like you feel?
Yeah, me? Yeah, sure, of course, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're going to move on to the next caller, okay, Julie? You can just stay on and listen, okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetie.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Hello? Who am I talking to? That's a 626 area code?
Yes, hello. My name is Frank. I'm calling from California.
Oh, hi, Frank. Nice to speak
with you. Hey, Frank.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Okay, this is what I have. In May 11th, I have a court date. And less than 2 weeks, I'd like to know what the energy is around the case and the other party is feeling or thinking.
Okay, I'm just going to direct you, like Michael tends to be a literal guide, so if you're a bit more specific, it'll be more beneficial and understanding to you. So what is the purpose of the court case? So who else is involved or something?
Yes, it's a civil action against a sibling.
A settlement, did you say? I just didn't hear you.
No, a civil act against a sibling. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, a civil act about a sibling? That's almost a tongue twister.
I know.
Yes.
You're just cutting out. Was that it?
Frank, are you okay?
Yes, it's a civil action against a sibling.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Well, here's what he's saying. Hang tight. This is what I'm hearing, okay? Hang tight because there's going to be a lot of movement. Like you're going over, you're in a car. Michael used parables a lot for understanding. Like you're going over a car with rocks in the road. There's going to be bumps in the road. So be prepared and be ready. Not for upset necessarily, but there'll be some prizes. There'll be some sort of like twists and turns. And so what you're asking, if you're asking me for, will there be resolution on that date? The answer is not complete resolution. No, it's just going to be a continuation. And so I would say to you to go back to your inner self and ask inner self, knowing this, is inner self ready to go to task again, because there'll be more tasks like this to follow. So was that, do you understand what he's saying?
Yes, yes, it's going to be continued, and we are waiting for documents.
Yes, and yes, and so he's saying, ask yourself again, okay? So when Michael says things like ask yourself, the implication is, you know, is it really worth it to you? I mean, that, he's not literally saying that, but the implication from my experience is, you know, ask yourself, because it is going to be a bit of a road, and it's going to be a bit of a bumpy road.
Okay. It's been a couple of years, but okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
So I think is winning this big, is this winning greater than forgiveness?
Actually, yes, because it has to do with the siblings. She took the entire estate,
mm-hmm.
and I was paying into the state.
Okay.
And,
so it's financially the issue,
yeah.
then?
Yeah. Oh, yes, financially and also trust. She violated the trust and.
Excuse me. It's going to take about 3 years for complete closure on this. So be, you know.
So one more.
I don't
year,
know. Ready's the word, but
mm-hmm.
three.
Yeah.
Three more, not three total.
Oh,
three
more.
More.
Oh, okay.
Three more.
Interesting.
You'll have success in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like piece one is a year, piece two is the second year, but not full and complete disclosure and peace with this for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. It's okay. And how is the other party feeling or thinking about the case? Her name is Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Distraught. The words are distraught, uncomfortable, mixed up, topsy-turvy, black and white. You know, I'm not hearing words like remorse. She's not, you know, offering that. She's not at that stage. So, you know, she's very mixed up, almost in a biological sense, like her mind goes back and forth. You know, she's not balanced by any means with her thinking with the situation. So he says, exercise some caution and compassion, please.
Mm.
Compassion. Caution is just knowing that whenever the energies of one person are not as balanced or, you know, come in connection with someone who is quite a bit unbalanced, and he's not implying mental instability necessarily, okay? He's just saying that her range of emotions are fluctuating kind of wildly, okay? So that's what the caution is, okay? Not that it's not a warning, is it some sort of, you know, harm is coming, so please don't misunderstand that, but he means in the sense that, you know, there's frailties there, he's saying, okay? So walk gingerly, whatever your decision may be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because
okay.
She's very fragile. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I don't know why she started this, but here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there
you.
Anything
really
that Michael could pick up on why she started this?
I just I have...
Yeah, it's the answer is anger. I mean, there's only so many things really in life, and he gets down to it, right? So many emotions, right, in an earthly body. So anger, what started it? Anger, okay, anger. Misplaced anger, primarily all anger is misplaced in the global sense, but misplaced anger. Okay, she was looking to place it somewhere, and you, your family, you happen to be in the target, you might say, saying, okay, so.
Oh.
Displaced anger.
Mm.
That's too bad because the estate is in high seven figures. And anyway, I was shocked. But anyway, it's.
So is there a righteousness of maybe of entitlement that I'm picking up that she has in herself that says I this is mine, everybody else has theirs kind of thing? And so it could have been part of the anger towards everyone else for saying everybody had a better life than me, so this is my piece, you know?
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm getting, that her entitlement about this is great, and she justifies it, you know, and it's wrong, but she justifies it because she felt that she wasn't given enough in her world, you know? So it's that kind of thing. It's almost like a greediness, I feel, you know?
Exactly.
When I feel into her energy, it's like never having enough, you know? It's sad, but a lot of people do feel that. And really what she didn't have enough of was love. Because when you don't have enough love...
From the mother. Right,
yeah.
From the mother. So,
yeah.
Yes. But again, Michael's hoping that that you're left with the sense that, you know, healing is what his message is, right? You're in the moment, and we can talk about the reasons. We can focus on it to try to justify the mind, and mind wants to understand. And really, the mind can always go back to love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So try to wrap yourself around that in some small way as you move forward on this journey.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm trying dearly. I just sent her basically pink love and wrap her around and pink candy cane, and I myself, I'm just cutting the cords because she's too toxic. Every
mm-hmm.
time I think about her or I start feel empathy towards her, I get hives.
Really? So physically?
Well, of course, you know, the hives are anything in the body, probably many of us, you know, is a reaction of a mind, of the mind. First starts in the mind. So, you know, it behooves you to your, also, you know, to separate and continue what you're doing. You don't have hives and she's not continuing to have a negative pull over you.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you're doing, Frank. It sounds really healthy that you are cutting the ties and you are, you know, sending her love and you're really not sending her the in a sense, disappointment of how she's being. You know, you're sending her actually a higher vibration by sending her love, because you could be sending her the disappointment and kind of appalled over the situation. And I'm really grateful to hear that you aren't sending, you know, negative thoughts her way, because that really only hurts you. So I'm really
yes.
happy that you have a sense of the bigger picture, and that would be peace and love for everyone in this involved. And you know, I can see it happening. For sure. I do have to say that it has to happen by doing what you're doing, you know, by, you know, like we were talking about earlier, sometimes the hardest things that come your way are the biggest teachers, you know, like what was happening to Julie, that this girl came in and really blew her off of her center that was its loving nature. But it's kind of happening in your world through your family, so it still is a teacher for you. To stay quite in the loving place, no matter what is the world is giving you, you know, it really is, in a sense, a great teacher, you know. So I can actually see this being an equal, a great opportunity for growth and for your spirit as well, even though it's disturbing. But
exactly, yeah. I just 2 years ago, I did not believe in this,
mm-hmm.
and I've been involved now for the past over 2 years in the metaphysical, learning, reading, listening, hearing, meditating. There's so much because it's so true. And
mm-hmm.
The main thing is forgiveness and letting go,
mm-hmm.
and releasing it. And in this case, I released it with justice.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it in the hands of justice.
So that I like that thought, that you're putting it in the hands of, in a sense, the angelic justice, too, you know. To me, I know they know what's best more than I do, you know, so I always just hand it over. And usually, you know, similar things in my life have happened, and I really do know the more that I let go of the outcome, the more I'm free from it personally and physically, emotionally, spiritually. I just don't care what the outcome is. You know, I've really just let it go. I mean, and I mean that. Just like if I say to you, Frank, if it happens this way or that way, you would say it doesn't really matter to my joy or my happiness. Now, when you get to that point, you really have let it go. And that's a powerful place to be, because that's where the miracle, that's where the truth will come out, because there's no attachment any longer about it, you know. So that one just happens. I really get the more that you do your work, the more that you stay centered in bliss and really know that that's really who you are. And that all the story and all the stuff is just, you know, the mind bringing us out of the real center of who we are. Once you really get that nothing really should matter to that center, and it really doesn't, you know, that this whole situation will kind of feel like a dissolve, where it won't be a problem to you. It won't even be a thought. And that's what I will see for happening for you. 'Cause, you know,
thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that forward. I know this is a big piece for a lot of people right now, especially loving, sensitive souls that are being confronted with things that aren't that way, or in a sense are great teachers like this that make us rattle our sense of beauty and trust and loyalty and all that wonderful stuff that we really believe everybody's in. And then when it shows up and it's, you know, it goes, whoo, that one got me, you know. It is the greatest teacher, though. You know, I always think, you know, somebody could tell you 100 wonderful things about yourself, and they may say one thing derogatory, and you will remember that one thing, like, you know, like it's the truth. Yet everybody, you know what I mean? It's just where we are sometimes in our perspective, and we aren't listening to the 99 wonderful things that are here and beautiful and shining and great, and we just focus on that one thing that takes our attention away from the truth.
Well, Michael says what we're saying too here is that the soul never lies, the spirit never lies. It's the mind that makes deception. So to just add on to what you're saying, you know, when thoughts come to a person that are agitating, upsetting, all the things that have been shared and we talk about and we know about, you know, Michael will say, and make it a habit, you know, have something close at hand. Either he gives affirmations or, you know, there's books on affirmation, but you got to feed your mind as you feed your spirit, he's saying. Can you feed your body? So as soon as the mind goes to a place of, oh, I can't believe she did that to me and what's going on there, then boom, if you can't remember these things and you carry them in your pocket and they're pieces of paper that are affirmations that feed your mind love and kindness, whatever those things, whatever those exact things may be, like, I am loving, I receive love, I give love freely, I offer acceptance. You know, he's saying over and over, you constantly feed the mind because the soul never lies. It's the mind that does. So feed it like you do with dedication. Be dedicated. It's another word he uses often. So dedicate yourself to actually reformulating cell structure. You know, as soon as you read positive things, you're reformulating that. So the thing is, he says, do it quickly and do it often. You know, the mind is weak. The mind has great power, but the mind can be weak. So maybe that's a tool that Frank and others that are listening will find helpful. You know, I do it myself. You know, I get in a place that's not good. I go back to my affirmation list or just personal books that are inspiring, that are filled with joyous, you know, things and happy and joy things. And then, you know, it distills it instantaneously. You may have to repeat it throughout the day a dozen times a day, you know, but with practice then you actually have to use the tool less mm-hmm. and less.
Yeah.
Until it becomes your way of being.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true.
Until there is no more voice that to be heard. It's just your pure sense in essence is just you're there. It's like you will arrive, and that's what you have to know. That you're in a sense, your intention here was to get clear in yourself, right? Once this all happened, it was a blessing. I mean, she has been a great teacher. I'm actually seeing it. It's like she was kind of given this, you were given this opportunity for to go deeper into what you are studying, which is spirit and how the mind is, you know, creates this your whole life. You know, what you say is how it is. You know, I mean, really, you are learning so much through this experience with your sister, you know. So it's in that I'm grateful for her, because you wouldn't have been calling us right now, and you wouldn't be reading those wonderful books, and you wouldn't be listening to Michael, and so
true.
And so we can get to the level I can, and of thanking her, because if it wasn't for this incident, you might have taken longer, you know, to get to really what matters. Yeah,
that's
that is
true.
Love.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I am grateful. I'm grateful now for my life. I had a rough upbringing from my father and that family, and now I've let it go, and everything has made me the man that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And as for my sibling, I trust her with all my heart, all my love, but she opened up my eyes, and the only thing which is next, which I could see coming up for her, is just all the karma she's been building.
Mm-hmm.
Not just against me, but other people. But that's something that she has to answer to in the many lifespans she has to pay debt to. But anyway, it's her
mm-hmm.
choice, free will. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad I've been released from my contract, my soul contract. So.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a release. That is what I'm feeling. It's kind of letting her be where she is and loving her still from that place that she's in. It's like, you know, when you have a child, sometimes they are acting poorly, and you know, like they're in a dam, but you're always loving them anyway, you know, and that is ultimately, that's your God self that pulls forward all the time and shows and has compassion for every soul on the planet, no matter if they're acting well or not, you know, and when you have that happen, it is like you get it that, oh, that was all I had to do. You know, that's all I had to do is to see them right where they are and have forgiveness if indeed they are struggling, you know. And,
yes.
Yeah, and that's the truth. I love that you called in because I know that this is a big reality for most people that want to hold on to the story that brings them into the place of pain or suffering. And it's their choice to hold on to that story. If they just let the whole story go and say, I'm starting right from this moment on to create my new life. My story is, I woke up today, and it's a beautiful, shiny day, and I took my...
Hello?
We lost the hostess.
Hello? Oh, there you are. Hello?
Hostess. Where'd Patty go? Woo! Patty! She's been beamed up somewhere.
Well, her vibrations were getting too high.
Frank, I hope I don't have to take over this show. I can do a lot, but I don't know.
Well, it's great. It's great speaking to both of you and speaking to you and your co-host, it's all it does is just affirms what my path is and what I'm doing is correct. I've let go of my past. I had a rough childhood with my father between with the way he disciplines and everything.
Yeah,
else. But I've let that go, and now he has to deal with it.
Well, Michael's offering this, that if you use the violet flame he's saying and you surround yourself with purple, that'll be healing to you. And also he's saying that just walk down your path a little further and you can be a healer. And by healer, everyone, of course, can heal, right? So, but an active healer, you know, in the participating sense with your hands, okay? So that's where he's really wanting to lead you, okay, with your hands on healing. And he's saying that if you focus on this, dedicate yourself to this, that's within a year's journey, okay? And you'll get great reward from that because, as you say, you're released from this. Michael says, I honor what you're saying, but there's still more work to do, okay? So as you heal, you give. You give, receive. It's like a circle, like a pump, he's saying. You give and receiving, giving, receiving. This is actually going to be the vehicle Michael's saying is going to be your healing for you from the situations of your family that you're talking about. So that's why that's going to be entering in. And most likely it'll start as early as October of this year. And you can just make it a regular, steady part of your life if you're choosing, he's saying. He would honor that if that were work that you would be doing. Because, again, as you're giving, you're restoring. You're giving, you're receiving. Giving, receiving. And it would be very – it's a circle. He's showing me a circle, okay? So it would be very nurturing as well for everyone.
Mm-hmm. I'm back. Hi there, you wonderful people.
Hey, did we fill that hole pretty good?
My host was
needed. I want my own show now.
I get it. You know, I needed to just listen. So thank you.
Did you fall off your chair? What happened?
No, the phone went completely dead. We had a snowstorm, and so it just kind of blinked the phone, and when it did that, my mute button went on. So I'm still listening. I just couldn't talk to you until I figured it out. So, and Frank, I just love your energy. You have such a beautiful, sweet light, And I know that it hasn't been all that easy. It feels like you had to really push through this lifetime to kind of get to this wonderful, peaceful place of acceptance of the person that you really are, which is this beautiful, light, loving energy. And while I was listening, I was just loving you. I just think that you are a beautiful spirit. And it really feels to me that you have just started an amazing journey and path that's going to take you into many avenues of healing. And, you know, I could see you actually being a speaker of kind of a new age kind of philosophy. And so if this continues for you, I have a sense it's going to take over and really become the most important journey you're on. And that's, you know, self-love, self-appreciation, receiving, like Angel Michael was saying, all that, and that you are really getting it, you know, for the first time. So, wow. Welcome. You know, welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, and Michael is looking, he said something about having soldiers, light worker soldiers. And when you were talking, I thought to myself, oh, here's a soldier. Yeah.
Yes, I pray to Michael, and I pray to Gabriel, Raphael, Raguel, Metrodon, Sandapov, Joseph L., and my descendants.
But have you read my book?
No, I have not. This is the first time I'm calling this show.
Well,
wow.
It's a wonderful book. It's probably one that you, when you read it, you will say, wow, I know this was Angel Michael talking, because that's how I felt. I love Angel Michael, too. He's been my guide and pretty much my angel my whole life. So I just, when I hear him speak in the book, it's like, because when you're reading, it's like you're getting downloaded the information directly from Michael. It vibrates at this high level, and you just start saying, wow, thank you, Michael, you know, for answering that question that I always wondered what that was, or had this wonder about this other domain, you know. And also he answers questions about the angelic realm, which is so fascinating. So I think you would like it very much.
And the name of the book?
It's called Into the White Light, and it's the Revelation of Archangel Michael. And you can just go, hey, Kelly, tell him how to find this book.
Yeah, Frank, it's self-published, so right now it's on Amazon, or you can order it through my site, and also Facebook opportunities to vote for it. I'm hoping to win this contest. I have a whole bunch of fans voting for it, and then whoever wins actually gets a publishing contract from Hampton Roads. So that would be wonderful. So it gets distributed in other countries, like Michael said it would be, not me running to the mailbox and shipping off another book to England, although I am grateful for that. I am. But you can get it on Amazon, and, you know, it is something that, particularly as you mentioned, that where you are in your journey, with all sincerity, yes, it should be very profound and enlightening to you. That would be my wish. The other thing is, you two were speaking, if I can share this, Michael was also talking about yellow. He'd mentioned the color purple before when you're going to be doing the work, Frank, and also yellow, okay, as you know, and many listeners know, you know, everything carries a frequency, color, sound, tone, so much more. So the colors are stated for a reason. So yellow and purple together in your work, if you could do that, okay? And when I say in your work, he means in the room surrounding you, okay? At least to begin with in October, November, when you're going to be doing some work on others. So I think purple and yellow, okay?
Yeah.
Because those carry the vibrations that he'd like you to use, purple and yellow. Later, it'll be green. He said later you'll be introduced to green and blue, so look for them in that order. He said they'll have meaning to you when they come in that order. Purple, yellow, green, then blue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's so funny, because right now I'm meditating, and I get a lot of green and a lot of blue and some purple on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, yellow too.
And yellow.
Mm-hmm.
yellow in the center. It's
yeah.
the center. It's like a ball. It's just like a revolving ball
right.
of flame.
Perfect. Okay, good. Well, you're already there. So just keep your awareness open for that. Okay. He's also saying there's something that's tickling your foot or will tickle your foot, something tickling your foot now or tickled your foot or you're tickly, your feet are ticklish or something. So, he's saying, I might tickle your feet. So look for this as some validation as you're doing your work, okay, that your feet will feel as someone's tickling them.
Okay.
Okay, it'll be me, saying it'll be me.
That's great. Fabulous. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Many blessings.
You know, we don't have to, the other callers, because it's close to the time, have left, so we can stay on the line if there's anything else that might be working. You know, I feel like the vibration with you online has really elevated the whole show, so thank you so much. You know, I think Michael, I just felt his presence just right, you know, come in the room. So when he was talking to you, so I really know that maybe there's more information that I could get from him as well, because I would like to ask Michael something, if that's okay, Kelly, from my perspective. I would like to ask Michael, at night, when I hear that vibration, it's like a vibration. It feels like a fluttering I'm hearing. I thought it was a moth in the window, and I would get up and I'd look and look, and I couldn't find anything, and I'd go back to sleep. Could he tell me what that was? Was that
you're recalibrating? Okay, you're recalibrating, and to what? You know, you know what that means, right? He's asking you, right?
I do.
Okay, okay. So you're recalibrating. And it'll subside and it'll come back and it'll subside and come back. And because I don't expect you to have to be recalibrating much longer, maybe a week, okay? And then it'll fade away, go away from your awareness for a while, and then another recalibration set to come in the summer, like in the heat of the summer, he's saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So honor them as they come. Know that they're, you know what calibration, recalibration is. And they're not going to last long, he's saying.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I did have a thought that I was getting, and it felt like I was being, like, I can't say downloaded because it felt like very physical almost, and it felt like I could feel them around me, you know.
He's just saying, to be specific to those that may not be aware, then he's saying, I'm recalibrating your DNA structure without, again, trying to speak to the level to those who have the most ears. That means that we are working with you and many others like you so that you can receive our frequencies more easily. Okay?
Oh, okay. Wow. It's Frank.
So we're all like going to be walking antennas, giant walking antennas.
I know. And Frank, what are some of your experiences of your angelic connections? Have you had any that were so profound that you just said, I know that was Michael? Or what do you feel when Michael's around?
Well, I see like lights, like small pixels, blue, white, and even black.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm looking. And also a warm feeling on my shoulders or my back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I dream, just some of the messages, either the animals or my ancestors, and I wake up speaking certain words, and even my wife wakes me up in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And I almost passed away in the fall of 2008, Christmas, but I chose to stay here. I had a blood disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the hospital with 3 IVs on each arm, and I didn't eat for 6 days. And I could hear a voice saying, it's okay to leave, it's okay. And I said, no, I'm not finished. I have to stay. No, I'm not finished.
And you're not.
Yeah. And so what was then after that, did you feel like a turnaround happened when you just told them, no, I'm going to stay? Did you say?
Yes. Yes. I wanted to, things were put in my path.
Mm-hmm.
All I had to do was recognize it and just learn with my gut feeling, the tingling sensations, the cold brushes. And everything, my intuition's been growing. I feel I'm becoming empathic,
mm-hmm.
As well as clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have to work on this. It's just so much. There's no shortcuts in this. And helping identify some of the things is it's
mm-hmm.
overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, one thing, one bite at a time, you know. How do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time. I really got that. That has been the truth. It's really letting it come to you, too, you know, and letting it be, like, settle in long enough for you to really get it, you know, because a lot of times we're so eager to learn that we haven't really let it, the frequency really settle in, you know. I went over to India when I was younger and I met Sai Baba. And had an interview with him. And I still am processing that interview, you know. I still have dreams that it wake me and that bring me into such a blissful state that I'm just like, wow, you know. And it's 12 years later. So I really get that maybe your experience also that you almost crossed over, you may have memories of that other place coming to you because of being out of it for 6 days, you know. You might have been taken, you know, to that temple that we were just talking about, the angelic temple of knowledge, and you could, you know, have been there for a while. Because in the book, this the angel Michael talks about the levels of states that you can be in, and it's so fascinating, Frank. I mean, I had been there myself and didn't realize they were in any form or anyone could tell me where I was, you know. So I think when you read this, it may answer some of the questions to what you were seeing and where you were, you know. So that will be exciting for you to get some information. So, Kelly, is there anything else that you see for Frank? Go ahead.
Earlier, Frank, Michael said your knee, when you were talking about parts of your body, was it tingle or you felt something or... Darn it, I didn't want to interrupt when those thoughts came through, but he said, and your knee, okay, that's what I heard. And then also now at the end here, he's saying, get ready to take a trip. I know it sounds sort of like the proverbial psychic babble, but I mean, that's really what he said, okay. So get ready to take a trip, and most likely it's going to happen to a country that begins with an S. He's saying, I don't want to spoil the whole surprise. There's going to be an element of surprise with this, okay. So he says, let's just say the country with an S. So this is not uncommon to me that when I hear things that, you know, Michael interjects humor, Michael can interject lesson teaching that's very serious, but at the same time, if he feels that in some way, you know, the idea of your mind thinking of a surprise elevates your vibration, then that's what's given. So I'm offering that to you. So have fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Kelly, we have about 6 minutes left for the show, and I would just love if it would be okay with Michael, if Michael would just leave us with a meditation so that we can take it into our dream state tonight.
Oh.
Would that be good?
Thanks for letting me do that. Let me see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's beginning already, okay? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, blessed Father, blessed Mother, Holy Ones, Wise Ones, Mystics, Seers, Healers, Knowers, reach out and touch one another with love and compassion. We ask this not only for ourselves, but for others. Holy Father, Holy Mother, seers of the world, visionaries of the world, future visionaries of the world, open your arms and embrace the new world energies which we are opening as gatekeepers. You are all gatekeepers to opening this new awareness. What is the new awareness? Stating forward, it is walking through the doors. And what are the doors made of? The doors are made of golden boughs. And what do the golden boughs symbolize? Love on one door, kindness on the other. So I offer you this. Walk through the two boughs, walk through the two doors as star keepers, stargazers, and know that we honor each and every one of you. Blessed be those who love themselves as they love others. My love extends beyond this dimension to your dimension, to the dimensions of the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th dimensions. You, dear one, are as valuable and honorable and loving as the God force that created the multi-universes. My love goes to all, Michael.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you for joining us tonight and making this just a most amazing moment. I feel blessed. And for everyone listening, please look for Kelly's book. I know that you would appreciate every single word of it. And Kelly will be back again. She's going to be coming back on, what was it, May 2nd at 5?
Thanks for the reminder.
Yes, I want to remind everyone, May 2nd. May 2nd, she will be taking calls again. And it is... let me just make sure. Yes, it's a Sunday at 5 p.m. So you can call the same number and come and share the hour with us and bring your wonderful energy to help elevate this wonderful planet and that we're on. So everyone, blessings. I'm so grateful, Kelly, for your presence and for your wisdom and for your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patty.
And so we'll be talking to Kelly again. Don't forget. Now, if you would like to get in touch with Kelly personally, you can go to her website. It's Kelly Into the White Light. Is that correct? .com.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Right.
And you can just go right to her webpage and read up about Kelly and all that she's going to be doing. She does teach her own star healing technique, and she's doing one-on-one sessions. So if you were interested in finding out more about that, you please go to her webpage, and you can find out where she will be. Do you have any place that you're going to be in the world coming up, Kelly, that we could talk about just for a second?
I think the world is going to be, the immediate world is going to be Denver at the International Trade Show. I'm excited to be. I think it's June 25th, 26th in Denver. I've never attended, but I hear John Holland will be there and people like me signing books and trying to promote a little book and spiritualness at the same time. So,
well, that's wonderful.
The next thing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Okay,
okay,
honey.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.